Yesterday, the five members of White Rock Presbyterian Church's session and I spent the morning together in a mini retreat. Session members and I have done this at least three other times, I was trying to remember, since I've been here, sometimes focused primarily on officer training, where we talk about what it means to be an elder in particular in the Presbyterian Church, and sometimes focused on some other theme entirely. Yesterday's retreat fell in the latter category. Since none of the currently serving elders are new to their position, I figured they could probably tell me more about what it means to be an elder in the Presbyterian Church than I could tell them. And also I wanted to do some visioning with them. I wanted to talk with them about who we are, we being White Rock Presbyterian Church, and who God is calling us to be and what God is calling us to do in this time and place. And I wanted to do that in a setting where we had a little more space, a little more time, not quite as encumbered by the business of the church, which is what makes up a significant part of what we deal with in our monthly meetings. And that's important work, of course, and it's worthy of our time and attention, but sometimes it's important to step away from that for a little while and consider the bigger picture. And so that's what we were doing yesterday. The theme I had chosen for our time together was seeing and being seen. And in the days leading up to that time, I invited the group of people that would be meeting to consider these questions. How do we see ourselves as White Rock Presbyterian Church? How do we think others see us? How do we want to be seen? Where do we want to be seen? What do we see as needs in our neighborhood, in our community? And where do we see God at work around us? We had, I thought, a very good and helpful and thought-provoking conversation about those questions and other things. And I'm grateful to each of you who were there yesterday and for your ongoing and faithful commitment to serve as leaders in this congregation. And to the rest of you who are here this morning who were not with us yesterday, I also invite you to participate in this conversation. It's an important one for all of us to engage in as we continue to move forward. We can all ask ourselves those questions. How do we see ourselves? How do others see us? How do we want to be seen? Where do we want to be seen? What do we see as the needs of the neighbors around us? And where do we see God at work? I would love to hear any of your reflections, any thoughts on any or all of those questions. And I'm sure other members of the session would too, who, by the way, are Min, Roe, Joyce, Haven, Selma, Reinofsky. Bob Reinofsky is the clerk, and Rod also is on the session. I think it's important for us to consider this idea of seeing and being seen, how and by whom and where we're seen as a community of faith. How we see ourselves matters, as does how we're seen by others, as does where we're seen and what we're seen doing. All of that can affect both how we feel about ourselves and about our congregation, our church. It can affect how we feel about what we're doing as a community of faith. It can affect how we live out the ministry that we believe God is calling us to. And how and where people see us doing and being all of those things can affect how they see God. And how and where we are seen and what we are seen doing is affected by how we see God. I think it's important to think about the idea of seeing and being seen with respect to our faith. And I think that's part of what Jesus was doing in the exchange that he had with his disciples that we just heard in the gospel. First, as you'll recall, he asked them, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" In other words, how are people seeing me, other people? What are they seeing in me? And based on those things, what are they saying about me, about who I am? "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" Jesus asked his disciples. And the disciples answered, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some say Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets. And as I heard one biblical scholar joke in a commentary in a podcast, he wondered if maybe Jesus responded to those possibilities with comments like, John the Baptist, interesting, but wrong. Wow, Elijah, that's clever, wrong. Jeremiah, that's a little crazy, and it's way off. Whether or not Jesus responded to their response to that question of how others were seeing him, he went on to ask them, but who do you say that I am? In other words, based on what you have seen in me, based on what you all have seen me doing, based on how you are experiencing me, who do you understand me to be? How do you see me? Who do you, as a group, you all, say that I am? And again, it's not indicated, but I can imagine after that question, there was a pause, an awkward pause. That's a big question. Who do you, my closest friends, my most steadfast students, my most faithful companions, say that I am? Do you have a sense of who I really am? Do you know? Has it become clear to you? I wonder if the disciples felt knots in their bellies and tension in their shoulders. That's such a big question. I wonder if they looked down at their feet or up at the sky or maybe at each other, anywhere they could to avoid making eye contact with Jesus after he asked them that question. They'd been with him for some time now, and he had not hesitated on occasion to call them out when they had given the wrong answer to some other question he had asked, or when they had clearly misunderstood something that he'd been trying to teach them. And this question, who do you say that I am, was a big one, such a big question. It almost feels like a final exam kind of question. Well, awkward pause or not, Peter stepped in to save the day. As he had at other times, Peter took it upon himself to be the spokesperson for the group. And he looked Jesus in the eye, as I imagine it, and boldly answered his question, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Cue the fireworks, cue the confetti, cue the applause. Ding, 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 ding. Peter got it right. I can imagine Jesus giving him a high five up top. Yes, yes, finally, Peter got it right. And I can imagine Simon Peter breaking into a huge smile and the other disciples simultaneous letting out the breath that they didn't realize they'd been holding and smacking him on the back and nodding their heads in agreement because, of course, that's what they were thinking too. They knew that answer also. They just hadn't said it. What a moment for Peter and for all of them. Of course, all that's recorded following Peter's courageous confession is that Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah." And he went on to say, maybe bursting Peter's bubble a little bit, that Peter had not figured that out by himself, but that it had been revealed to him by God. "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you," Jesus said, perhaps saying with his eyes, "lest you get too full of yourself." And then he went on to say, "But my Father in heaven." Or as it says in the Message, you didn't get that answer out of books or from teachers. My Father in heaven, God himself, let you in on this secret of who I really am. By the grace of God, it was revealed to Peter that Jesus was the Messiah. I suggest that Peter had seen with the eyes of his spirit, through Jesus' words and deeds, that Jesus was the Son of the living God. And by God's grace, in that moment, was able to proclaim it. Did that mean he knew what that meant? Did he or any of the disciples, for that matter, really know in that moment how Jesus was going to live that out, what it would look like for him to be the Messiah? Could any of them see what lay ahead for Jesus as he continued to live into that identity? In that moment, Peter recognized that he had seen something in Jesus that allowed him to say, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." We will see next week, or you can see if you read ahead, however, that Peter had no idea what that really meant. And yet he said it. He claimed it. He clung to it. He stuck around with Jesus for the most part. And he kept seeing more, and he kept understanding more, and he kept living more and more into that relationship, and his life and the life of the whole church from that point on, including our lives here today, were affected and forever changed by that confession. So what about us? Right? This begs the question. We who are still more than 2,000 years later walking in the way of Jesus, how do you and I and we answer that question? Jesus' question, who do you say that I am? Who do we say Jesus is? How do we see him? How do we experience him? What is God revealing to us about who Jesus is when the eyes of our spirits are open and our souls are receptive? Because it matters. It matters how we see Jesus. Do we see him as a gifted teacher, a powerful healer, a long-ago prophet? Do we see him as a friend to the outcasts and a dinner mate to sinners? Do we see him as always kind and gentle and meek and mild, with a child on his knee and laughing? Do we see him as a harsh critic to those in power, calling out hypocrisy and speaking out against injustice? Do we see him as the Word of God made flesh, the love of God incarnate? Do we see him as fully human, fully divine? Do we see him as our personal Lord and Savior, as the Lamb of God who died to take away our sin? Do we see Jesus as God's beloved, restoring all of creation to wholeness? Do we see him as the Messiah, the Son of the living God? How do we see Jesus? Who do we say he is? How do we see God in him? By God's grace, how do we answer that question? Who do you say that I am? Because it matters. It affects how we interpret our faith. It affects how we live out our faith. It affects how we understand church and what church is about. It affects how we see ourselves as followers of Christ. It affects our life together. Clearly, there's more than one answer. A few of them are up here. You can come and look after the service. And I think there's more than one right answer. We are all different people with different backgrounds, different life experiences, different faith experiences. How could we possibly answer that question in one single way? It's okay and even expected, and I think desirable, that we have different answers to that question. And even if some of us on occasion do have the same answer, it's okay to interpret it differently. I think that's part of what we can and maybe even should be doing here together as a community of faith, exploring and sharing and learning first what our own answers are to that question, and then what does it mean that we've answered it that way, at least at this moment. It changes. It can change. And so again, for all of us as participants in this community of faith, to give the same answer to that question is not what's important. I don't think. It is important that we consider the question. It's important that we're open, each of us, as individuals and all of us as a body, to God's Spirit, to hearing Jesus ask us, "Who do you say that I am?" It's important that we're open, each of us and all of us, to what God is revealing to us and through us and among us as we seek an answer to that question, because it matters who we say Jesus is. And I look forward to continuing, not just with the session, but with all of us, this conversation, hopefully for years and years to come. May it be so. Amen.